Save big on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Insulate your home and save on energy costs. Owens Corning Pink Foamular Insulation Panels are moisture-resistant and can be used anywhere, including walls, attics, and basements. Foamular Insulation Panels are available in multiple sizes to fit your project. Visit Menards.com to shop all foam board insulation. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for great deals happening this week. Save big.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome to Fantasy Sports Today. Craig Mish, Davis Maddock for 2 hours with you here on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. We have the NBA playoffs field set and can't wait to get into that with Davis here on the show. Of course, the latest in baseball and all around sports from a fantasy perspective. Also, our best ball previews continue here on the show today. It is Monday, May 17, 2021. And Davis, the moment has finally come. I can get rid of everything I saw during the NBA regular season and now focus on the real season, which is the playoffs. No more funny business, no more shenanigans, no more guys sitting out games, real spreads, and I think a nice playoff field is set, including the play-in games later this week.
Yeah, the play-in games are going to be great, and it's going to be, I think, fantastic for the content on this show, because when we go to talk about a game, you're not going to have to say, all right, Davis, who's resting, who's in, who's out, you know, is Lillard playing tonight? Is Harden playing tonight? Is LeBron playing tonight? Because the answer to those questions are either going to be yes or it's going to be a disaster, right? If LeBron turns an ankle, that's going to be a national news story. You know, if something happens to Kevin Durant, if James Harden's hamstring is acting up, if Kyrie gets, you know, banged in the face again, we're all going to know. And I am very much looking forward to the return of some very competitive, high-level basketball for the next 2 months.
Yeah, me too. The NBA, you know, I mean, I can't speak to hockey exactly what goes on, but the NBA is downright pathetic in the month, late April, early May this year. It's just been awful. You don't know who's playing. You have teams trying to win, trying to lose. And I know this happens in all sports in terms of tanking and teams not trying, but it is so glaringly obvious when you're only fielding five guys on a court when two aren't playing. And so I am looking forward to this, and of course, we'll preview it all week long for sure. That's where we'll begin with our headlines here as we start off the show here on this Monday. The playoff field is set. Play-in games are getting ready to begin, and we're going to review those games for you as well against the spread. We'll get Davis's early thoughts on that. Steph Curry wins the NBA scoring title. You know he missed a chunk of time during the season. Fourth oldest player to win a scoring title there. Albert Pujols, late Friday, it was revealed that he's going to sign with the Los Angeles Dodgers, and they are really banged up. So he may actually get more playing time than people imagine. And then hockey last night, the one game I watched was really exciting between Miami and, the Florida Panthers and Tampa Bay Lightning, but did not go Davis the Panthers' way. They led 4-3. Tampa Bay tied it up 4-4. Tampa Bay took a 5-4 lead, and that is the way that it ended yesterday. But nonetheless, we had a fun baseball weekend. I know, Davis, you were all excited to see Ohtani, another huge home run for him against the Boston Red Sox. I was locked into watching the Marlins and Dodgers. And then, of course, we had a game last night that was a lot of, I would say, probably false controversy in the NBA when you have the Los Angeles Clippers basically losing the last game of the season. Most people feel they did that to avoid the Lakers. I don't know if you feel that way, but that's definitely what went down yesterday. Clippers had no business losing the last game of the season.
Not only did they lose the last game of the season, they lost their last two games of the season to the 17-win Houston Rockets and the 21 or 22-win Oklahoma City Thunder. And it was one of the most impressive performances of tanking I've ever seen. They for sure did it so they would not have to play the Los Angeles Lakers. I mean, that is kind of worst case scenario for the Clippers, is you have this great season, and due to injuries to Anthony Davis, LeBron James, and Dennis Schroeder, you end up playing the Los Angeles Lakers in the first round of the playoffs. I mean, no one wants that, right? It would be like last season Klay Thompson had came back and the Warriors ended up being the 8 seed. No, the Lakers certainly would not have wanted to play a 1-8 matchup against the Steph Curry, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson Warriors. No one wants that, right? So on one hand, I think it makes a mockery of the game a little bit. I find it pretty funny. Also, the funniest thing to me, for sure, they had a guy literally named Scrub. The Clippers did. Marvin or Mark Scrub, two B's, so not just straight Scrub, but a guy named Scrub playing 30 minutes a night for them. I mean, I thought that was one of the most poetic basketball moments in quite some time.
Yeah, no, it's one of those things in sports that you just can't avoid, but the NBA has got to figure out the end of their regular season, like with the tanking and the lottery. I don't know what the answer is, but to me, we had such a compelling regular season up until we got to about April, and then it just was a disaster. And then, Davis, you called it a month ago. You said, and this was when the Lakers were like the 2 seed in the West. You're like, yeah, they're going to be in the play-in game. I was like, ah, Davis has no idea what he's talking. And here they are. They're actually playing in the play-in game to end. I'm not a huge fan of 2 play-in games, maybe like 1 in the East and West. But this does seem a little excessive, giving the 10 seed an opportunity to get in. And listen, don't tell that to Charlotte and San Antonio for sure, but that's just kind of the way that I see this. Maybe they'll surprise me. That happens in the NCAA tournament. Lesser teams win. Happened last year in baseball. Lesser teams got in. They ended up going far. We'll see if it happens in the NBA. Specifically, coming up next, we're going to shift away from baseball, and we're going to talk about these play-in games that we're going to see tomorrow night and give you an early look as to what they could look like. And, of course, our focus tomorrow on the show will be Golden State and LA. Probably the one matchup that will shatter any kinds of first game playoff records, I would think, with Steph Curry going head to head with LeBron James for sure. So that and a whole lot more coming up. So make sure you stay with us. Stay on the grid. This is Fantasy Sports Today here on sportsgrid.com. Davis and I will be right back here on this Monday. Don't go away.
With the state of today's economy, it's more important than ever to invest in products that last for years to come. As a season shift and get cooler, make sure your closet is stocked with durable layers that stand the test of time from American Giant. American Giant's clothes work harder and are wearable season after season. Their greatest hoodie ever made is made from the highest quality materials that are cut and sewn right here in the United States. So you're investing right back in your local community. Choosing American Giant means taking a stand for American manufacturing and hardworking Americans, something other mega corporations don't care about. From fleece to knit, all in a range of colors for versatile daily wear, American Giant delivers everyday pieces designed for everyday life. Feel the difference of quality, made-to-last clothes from American Giant. Get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20 at American-Giant.com. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com with code STAPLE20.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back. FanDuel is your place to be for the NBA playoffs. Make sure you go ahead and log yourself on, get it checked out, because we're about to go through some potential matchups for you. Now, again, some things are cloudy because of the play-in game, so we'll do our best to navigate through. But certainly by the end of the week, we'll be having games every day to talk about. We'll be previewing games and doing everything that we normally do to get you through your day to give you a little bit of an edge here on Sports Grid. So, Davis, let's take our first look at the play-in games for tomorrow night, which are the Eastern Conference games. And we have the Washington Wizards at the Boston Celtics. And boy, does the line tell you about this game right here. They give the Wizards a really good shot with Westbrook and Beal to go to Boston and win, with them only being -1.5. And then the Charlotte Hornets, a little bit of a different story as they go to Indiana, -3.5. I know Indiana hasn't been playing at full strength toward the end of the season. I don't know if you formed an opinion on these games, but this is where the lines are at. So I guess the two-part question is, do you think the lines are where they should be? And do you think there's any edge on this before tomorrow night?
I mean, we gotta smash this button for the Washington Wizards against the Boston Celtics. It would not surprise me if one of Kemba, Smart, or Tatum doesn't play. Now, maybe the reason why they took it easy at the end of the regular season was just because, like, look, it's a lost season. Who cares? You know, nothing matters for these guys. Jaylen Brown out for the rest of the year with this wrist surgery. So they just said, Tatum, Smart, Kemba, you know, take your time off, go to the spa, do whatever it is you guys want to do. Maybe, I mean, clearly the Celtics are a better team than the Wizards, right? Jason Tatum, all NBA player, Kemba Walker, former all NBA player, Marcus Smart, first team, all defense. They're a very good team, but I don't think they care. I literally think the Boston Celtics do not care. I think that they look at some of their accomplishments, right? They were one game away from the NBA finals 2 years ago. You know, Tatum had that dunk over LeBron, you know, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think they care. I think they roll into this building and Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal out-effort them. And so I really, really like the Wizards here.
I mean, the line says it. I mean, Boston's, there's tax on Boston also just from being the Boston Celtics, and there's none to pay here. This game would probably be a pick 'em by tomorrow. Okay, so let's look at the East first round matchups. And again, still to be determined on a lot of this stuff. The Sixers are going to wait and play either Washington, Boston, Charlotte, or Indiana. So not much to add here. Washington or Boston will go to Brooklyn and take the Nets on and probably lose in the first round. Oh, my gosh. Last week, I thought the Bucks would win the championship. That was my pick, and now they're going against the Heat. So I'm super torn here. Bucks are -6, and Atlanta's taking on the New York Knicks. I know Miami plays Milwaukee. I think it is Sunday. Got to wait for like a week, Davis, to play these games. I don't get that. But I guess Heat, Bucks, and Hawks, Knicks are two things that are actionable at this point. So how do you see those?
I think those are super interesting series. I think the Heat can legitimately upset the Bucks. I mean, this was the path the Heat took last year, right? In the bubble, they were not viewed as a championship contender. It was all about the Bucks. It was all about the 76ers, and the Heat came in and pretty much spoiled even the Raptors, right? Even the Raptors were viewed as, you know, a team that could back up their championship aspirations, and the Heat kind of crashed the party. I think it's a very similar thing this year. Jimmy Butler, no one is more equipped to playing 44 minutes a night in the playoffs than Jimmy Butler. I would say Kevin Durant, Jimmy Butler, and LeBron James are like the three guys who their style of play and their mentality allows them to play at a high level. Because the difference between playing like 38 minutes a night and 44 minutes a night, that basically means you don't get to sub out in the second half. So the only rest for those guys is commercial breaks. That's very hard. You know, a lot of us, you go try and play basketball for 40 minutes and imagine how your body feels after that. And then imagine playing at the highest possible level. So I think the Heat have a real upset chance there. And I find that Hawks Knicks playoff series fascinating. Because look, let me just level, and I know a lot of our viewers are in the New York area. The Hawks are a much more talented basketball team. Trae Young is more physically gifted than any player on the Knicks roster. Even guys like John Collins and Clint Capella have more, kind of God-given gifts than Nerlens Noel, Mitchell Robinson, Julius Randle. I can't even really say enough about how good Julius Randle has been this year. But I do just feel like when other teams are also giving 100% of their effort, I really do feel like it's kind of going to be a tough thing for the Knicks to win that series.
All right, let's move over to the Western Conference, and we have our two play-in games tomorrow night. I'm sorry, Wednesday night, excuse me. Golden State taking on the Lakers. The Lakers are -6.5, and the Spurs are going to Memphis to play the Grizzlies in a one-game scenario, and the Grizzlies are -3.5. Now, I do have questions regarding the Lakers, because later on we're going to take a look at the odds to win the championship, and none of this is adding up to me. I don't understand it. I'll tackle that when we get to it. But, I mean, I guess I'm a sucker for thinking that this line is way too big and I should be taking Golden State, which tells me the Lakers are going to blow the Warriors out, I guess, because that is what the line is telling me, that Golden State does not have a chance. What am I missing here if the line is this big?
Well, I don't think you're missing anything, but I think what you're seeing is no Kelly Oubre, no James Wiseman, you know, Andrew Wiggins as the second option. This is basically, kind of the reverse of the last time LeBron James and Steph Curry met in the playoffs, which was, it was, you know, LeBron and his ragtag team, and then Steph Curry had the All-Stars. Now the Lakers are the All-Stars, right? Andre Drummond, Anthony Davis, Dennis Schroeder. You know, a lot of highly paid, you know, very talented, very highly thought of players on the Lakers side. And then it's Curry and kind of just, you know, a bunch of guys. I mean, all due respect to Draymond Green. Draymond's impact on games has lessened as he's gotten a little bit older. He can't shoot anymore. I don't think he has an obvious defensive assignment against the Lakers, because Drummond, I think, will actually be able to back Draymond down. Anthony Davis is 6 inches taller than Draymond Green. I don't think Draymond is looking forward to that defensive matchup. All that being said, I am going to put my money where my mouth is, and I'm going to bet the Warriors and the points here. I don't want to be confident enough to say they win, but I mean, come on. It's Steph Curry in a one-game elimination spot. You're telling me he can't get hot and hit 10 three-pointers? You know, I mean, is there one player as a road underdog you'd rather bet on than Steph Curry?
Yeah, the line says the other thing to me. Yeah, the line says they're going to get blown out. I mean, I don't understand how the Lakers are only 6.5. Maybe part of it is when we look at their odds to win the championship, why this doesn't add up. But let's take a look at the other first-round matchups real quick. We'll skip over the first two because we don't know who Utah and Phoenix are going to play. Portland at Denver. This is going to be a long, grueling series for sure. And then Dallas at the Los Angeles Clippers open up this weekend too, with the Clippers -6.5, Davis.
Man, let me tell you, I am very disappointed in Luka Doncic. It was a game the Mavericks should have wanted to win last night. They get blown out by the Timberwolves in a game that they should have wanted to win to avoid this exact scenario, which is playing against the Clippers. Luka has obviously been great, better than even expected in his short career. But I have some very similar to how I felt about Jokic 2 years ago is how I feel about Doncic now, where Luka has not gotten his body in Jimmy Butler and Giannis shape yet, right? And that has a huge impact on your body in May and April and June, because you just played 80 games, you hurt. You know, you're losing weight in season, but you don't have muscle there to back it up. So I think I'm going the other side in that series.
Yeah, I don't like Dallas at all. Okay, now explain this one to me, Davis. The Lakers are 5-1. Take a look at this. The Lakers are 5-1 to win the championship. They have the second chalkiest odds to win, and they're playing in a play-in game. So that's what
gotta,
I'm saying,
gotta,
Davis.
Got to smash the 76ers here. 76ers are the best bet at these odds.
Okay. 8-1 there on Philadelphia. All right. Plenty more discussion on the NBA as we roll on. Next, we go to the baseball games coming up later today. You're watching Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid and sportsgrid.com. We'll be back right after this. Stay on the grid. Don't go away.
Racing.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Hey, welcome back. Fantasy Sports Today here on Sports Grid. From basketball to baseball we go. Tons of games going on in baseball this afternoon. So Davis and I are going to jump into it. Caught a lot over the weekend for sure. So I want to break down some things that happened and look forward a little bit too. Mets tonight will be taking on the Atlanta Braves, as you're going to now start to see teams within their same divisions playing against each other a lot over the next month. That the sort of East versus West stuff is going away. If you take a look at the schedule, you're going to see a lot of this. So a lot of competitive games, I think, moving forward. Mets and Braves, as Atlanta is minus 142 tonight at Truist Park. You can get plus 120 on the Mets. Max Fried will pitch for the Braves. Hasn't been healthy most of the season. Taijuan Walker has pitched pretty well, all things considered, for the Mets. But Davis, Mets have a lot of injuries also. Brandon Nimmo still not back. Conforto left the game early yesterday. They're sort of playing with extra players to get things through. And I think that's why the line is Atlanta minus 142. Atlanta's relatively healthy going into this game. And I suppose that that's why the line is what it is here. Mets may have to play at least two, I would think, reserves to get through this game tonight.
Well, and the other thing that I thought was strange about this line was, you know, Fried has not gone deep into games since his return from injuries. He has made five starts, but only accumulated 22 innings pitched up until this point. He also has not been particularly good in those innings. Has not, you know, really has not done what he has always done, which is generate loads of soft contact that turns into weak ground balls. He's given up more home runs than league average. I mean, I was surprised to see Atlanta favored by so much with Fried on the mound. You know, given that I think Walker is probably the better pitcher at this point. Not that I think that Fried is bad overall, but I just don't think he is quite 100% worked back from this injury. Your point about the injuries, though, I mean, you know, we're talking about Kevin Pillar is going to be batting fifth probably for them today. But I think I probably do just take the dogs here. I mean, if you're giving me the guy I think is the better starting pitcher at plus money, I think you probably just got to take Walker here.
Yeah, no Nimmo, no McNeil, no Conforto. I mean, that's a lot to ask, I think, for the Mets going into tonight. But you're right, Fried has not gone deep into games. I guess it'll be a pen, you know, sixth through ninth inning, and that could determine it. But understood there with the starting pitcher. Walker's definitely been better. I just don't know that the Mets will hit much this week without three of those guys potentially. Okay, now let's go over to the game of the night, which is the pitching matchup of the night. And the Dodgers are just massive favorites today. They're minus 200 against Arizona. You can get plus 170 in Mad Bum, who's been the best pitcher in baseball over the past month. But Walker Buehler's on the mound for the Dodgers. I watched the Dodgers this weekend, Davis, and they really crushed the Marlins on Friday and Saturday. But they don't have Bellinger. They don't have Corey Seager. So they're playing with all of these strange dudes like Sheldon Noyce and Luke Rayleigh and just a lot of like extra players. Now they have help on the way with Pujols coming. Tsutsugo is coming too. And in general, over the last couple of years, the Dodgers have owned the Diamondbacks. It just has not been close. So total is seven. Looks like a very close game tonight. Dodgers also did not unload their bullpen yesterday. They got all their top guys ready today if they want. And honestly, Arizona just doesn't score, Davis. Like, their offense is just not good. Like, you picture Arizona's offense with massive home runs. Like, they've had, can't lay minus 200, but I understand why the line looks like the way it does. People would think, oh my gosh, like, this is just way too much against Mad Bum. But Arizona's had really big problems hitting the ball.
Yeah, that was my instinct, too. Was sure, Walker Buehler's really good, but Bumgarner's also been, you know, way better. We talked on the show last week about how, you know, he kind of just said, you know, screw off to the analytics department there in Arizona and said, I'm going to throw what I want to throw. And then I guess, you know, the other big thing that comes in when we're talking about the Dodgers playing extra players, it's like, well, you know, some of the Dodgers extra players would probably be like five hitters for other teams. Like, you know, mm-hmm. I mean, we joke, but someone like Luke Rayleigh or Gavin Lux or Sheldon Noyce would be like a top five prospect in most other organizations in baseball. And yeah, they don't have Seager, but their replacement for him is, you know, they'll just move Chris Taylor to shortstop. And Chris Taylor, pretty good hitter, very good against left-handed starting pitching. There's no way I would bet on the Dodgers minus 205 here, especially given how good Bumgarner's been. What I do actually like here is I like the over. I like betting the over on seven and just saying, look, you know, maybe Walker Buehler gives up two. He goes six strong innings. They give up another one, but then the Dodgers are able to get to Bumgarner in the Diamondbacks pen. I feel like over seven looks pretty decent there.
Yeah, Taylor Hurt, by the way, too, probably going to go on the injured list this week. They have a lot of injuries. Yeah, LA has a lot of injuries that they're dealing with. But night games in LA tend to not have the ball hit very hard, tend to be close. And in a close game, the Dodgers are going to win. I mean, that's just the deal. They got the better bullpen, and they could scrape out those wins. But their offense was really good Friday and Saturday. Yesterday, they had a bullpen day and just threw anybody out there, essentially. Okay, finally, we have John Lester, who Davis does not like, although he did pitch well last week, John Lester, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. Washington is at the Chicago Cubs, so this is Lester's return to Chicago. The total is 8. The Nationals seemingly offensively are more or less fully healthy. They are just not playing well at all this season. They're among the worst teams in the National League statistically across the board. The pitcher for the Cubs, Davis, Albert Alzolay, has actually been really solid the last couple of weeks. I know that because he's on one of my teams, surprisingly. He was a top prospect for them and really just didn't pitch well until the last couple of weeks. We know Lester's not going 8 innings tonight. So first 5 innings, it may not even be in play with these two pitchers. But hard for me to trust laying minus 150 with the Cubs, Davis, even though on paper they are the better team.
No, not hard for me. Not hard for me to lay. In fact, when we get into our MLB daily fantasy discussion, there are definitely going to be some Chicago Cubs batters' names prominently involved. I got into Azulay. You remember if we talked about him very early on in the draft season, we talked about, you know, guys after pick 300 who could be potential league winners. And Azulay was one of the guys for me. You know, he throws absolute heat, you know, 98, 99 mile an hour fastball, has a wicked cutter. And the Cubs really had no choice. He was so good. They had no choice but to move him into their rotation. And he has rewarded that faith. Lester, one of my absolute favorite pitchers to gamble against forever. And as we detailed on the show last week, not only is John Lester not a great pitcher, but the Nationals can't hit worth a lick. I mean, it's Trey Turner, and that's it. Soto has been disappointing relative to what people expected him, but Trey Turner is the only Nationals hitter who's doing his job, literally the only one.
Yeah, it's nuts. This is one of the things we did talk about before the season. It seemed like poor roster construction there. Josh Bell and Kyle Schwarber, like, I don't know. It just felt like Band-Aids on little missing pieces of the team, what it was missing. So, you know, with Lester, you never know. I know he's going to want to have a good game tonight, but he clearly doesn't have the same stuff he used to. All it will require is Bryant or Baez to hit a 3-run home run, and that's probably a wrap at that point because they just aren't scoring. So, interesting there. By the way, before we go any further, I know that we'll go back to Ohtani here and go back to the Angels. And certainly, Davis, I don't know what in the world's going on with them, but they're teetering on, like, what, second worst record in baseball now behind the Detroit Tigers? I mean, they are just completely falling apart. And I'm starting to think that it's going to be hard to give Trout or Ohtani that MVP with the way that they're playing right now. It's awful.
Well, if we do think that, if we think, look, the Angels are a 72-win team, there's no way we can give the MVP to them, there are loads of opportunities in the American League MVP market because right now those guys are taking up a huge chunk of it. Trout on the FanDuel Sportsbook is listed at plus 180 to win the American League MVP, and Ohtani, my guy, all the way down to plus 500 to win the American League MVP. I think with every start, every pitching start that Ohtani does, he gets closer and closer. I think once he gets past, as I've said this entire time, I think once he gets past that 15-start mark, I don't think it's possible for the voters to give it to anyone else. I'll say this. If the voters give it to anyone else and Ohtani hits 35 home runs, starts 18 games with an ERA under 4, I will not watch baseball anymore. I will be out. Wow. They will lose me. They will lose me as a fan. Because what's the point? If we cannot reward the most impressive athletic achievement of anyone in the 21st century, then literally what's the point? Like there was actually a great article last week on Bleacher Report from a college baseball player who tried to do both. And he was like, what Ohtani is doing is impossible.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. You know what? Somebody brought up a very interesting point, though, and it made me think twice. First of all, I agree with you. I totally agree. I think he's the MVP, regardless of the result of what the Angels are. But somebody brought up the point, Davis, is that so does basically Ohtani win the MVP every year now for the next 5 years if this is who he is? Like, is he just
Until he gets
blanket
hurt.
MVP?
Yes.
That's
Until
crazy
he
to
gets
think.
hurt. Yeah.
Because if he wins
Until
it,
he Yeah.
and the Angels are bad, it doesn't really matter what their record is for the next 5 years. If Ohtani makes 15 starts, as you said, hits 30 home runs, he's the AL MVP every single year. I mean, and that's a lot to ask. So, do they want to do that and set that precedent where it's like, how does he not win the MVP the next year if he does it again? But I'm in agreement with you. I don't know how he doesn't win it. I honestly don't care. Even if the Angels lose 100 games, we've never seen this happen before. But the precedent at that point will be set. And then they probably have to give him the MVP every year. I don't know if they want to do that. So, coming up next, it's time for us to take a look at the DFS slate. It's one of the big aces on the mound tonight, Gerrit Cole. So that's an easy decision, but we'll go through it. Also, a record potentially for Cole coming up. And more fantasy sports today on Sports Grid with our look on FanDuel's DFS slate next. Don't go away.
From the City of Angels to the Big Apple, shake it up with
SportsGrid.com.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playmcd.com for full details and amoe.playmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.
Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. You're on Sports Grid and SportsGrid.com. We have another best ball preview coming up in just a little bit. New look Carolina Panthers in 2021. Transformation basically from John Fox is complete. New head coach, new quarterback. We'll get into what their team looks like for best ball coming up in about 30 minutes from now. So make sure you stay on the grid for that as we shift over to some football discussion. But for now, those of you who are getting ready to play on DFS tonight over on FanDuel's daily fantasy site, let's give you some potential options to help you make a little bit of money if you're putting some money down tonight on this Monday slate. Davis, before we get into pitchers, what does the Monday slate look like for you this evening? I know it's not a completely full slate tonight.
Yeah, not a completely full slate. I actually love these slate sizes where we're not trying to shift through 14 teams. We get some teams the day off. Also, no cores in this slate. I used to really like core slates when I first started playing DFS, but now I kind of find them to be a little bit of a headache. I think probably the general strategy for today is going to be building around one of these ace starting pitchers, whether it be Gerrit Cole or Yu Darvish, both who are throwing today, and then finding a good four-man corresponding stack to go with them.
All right, so let's take a look at your top pitching options, Davis. Gerrit Cole, 12,300. You basically can't go wrong there. Yu Darvish of the Padres, 11,100. Kikuchi is 9,000. And we just talked about Taijuan Walker of the Mets. You like him a little at 8,000. So let's talk about the options tonight.
Yeah, that was why I was a little bit surprised to see that line because, I'm sitting here looking at Taijuan Walker and thinking, he looks pretty interesting to me. He looks like a guy who can generate 6-7 strikeouts, very importantly, get in deeper in the game than five innings. The win on FanDuel remains tantamount, and we definitely want him to be able to generate those. I think Kikuchi is probably the most interesting option of the slate, because our stuff at Daily Roto always likes Yusei Kikuchi, just kind of always thinks that he should be a little bit better than the results he's gotten in Major League Baseball thus far. And he's got the matchup to do it, against Detroit. A lot of Detroit's good, quote unquote, good batters are worse against left-handed pitching. Nico Goodrum, Robbie Grossman, they are switch hitters who are a little bit worse against left-handed starting pitching because they're, natural left-handed batters who just switch to maintain that platoon advantage. So I think Kikuchi is probably the under-owned option today. And then, look, you're not going to go wrong with Gerrit Cole against the Rangers or Yu Darvish against Colorado on the road. Those guys are, 40-plus fantasy points, no problem.
All right, over to first base we go, and I'm not sure that anybody is hotter in baseball than Jose Abreu, batting 500 over the last week, 3,800 tonight. Wilson Contreras of the Cubs, 3,400. Jared Walsh of the Angels, 3,200. And Luke Voit back in the Yankees lineup, for the most part, 2,900. So Davis Abreu is just scorching on fire, and ironically, after he had a collision over the weekend, too, that forced him out of a game, but looks real good right now.
Yeah, Jose Abreu, I expect to be, 15-20% owned at the first base position today on FanDuel, priced at 3,800, has that great matchup against the left-handed fly baller, Jay Happ. I think the Chicago White Sox, Yermin Mercedes and all these guys, they're all going to be incredibly popular. Luke Voit, my guy, 2,900 against Lyles, someone at FanDuel. I don't know. I don't know if they're doing their job with the pricing, leaving him at 2,900. And then Wilson Contreras, I think you always get a giant ownership discount with catcher players at the catcher first base spot on FanDuel because everyone just wants to play the first baseman. But Contreras always has a good leadoff spot. And I think the Cubs are my favorite stack today relative to, what I expect them to be owned against John Lester. So feeling very good about Wilson Contreras.
Okay, at second base, Ozzie Albies and the Braves tonight, 3,300 against the Mets. Nico Hoerner is back off the injured list. He hasn't really hit home runs, Davis, but this guy has been an on-base machine. I think almost 40% on base the last 2 weeks, so getting you points that way. DJ LeMahieu of the Yankees is 3,000, and then Nico Goodrum tonight for the Detroit Tigers, 2,600. Let's talk about the second base position.
Yeah, second base, big time ugly. As Craig just mentioned, probably not going to have Chris Taylor tonight, who is one of my stalwarts at the second base position on FanDuel. We have DJ LeMahieu against Lyles. Nico Hoerner is the guy who I think is probably sneaky. Priced over 3,100, obviously not a big power threat, but I think he's the perfect guy to add to your Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Wilson Contreras, Cub stacks, throw whichever outfielder you want in there. I think that he is pretty perfect. And then Ozzie Albies, just always. Ozzie Albies is, I think a very good hitter, leads off, or has a good lineup spot for the Atlanta Braves. And I just love switch hitters. Switch hitters are like my favorite thing about baseball. I always give them a little bit of a bump when I'm making lineups.
Okay, and at the hot corner at third base, we have Chris Bryant of the Cubs tonight at 4,300. Anthony Rendon off the injured list, 3,700. Manny Machado of the Padres, 3,200. And Josh Donaldson seems to finally be heating up a little bit. It has been a rough go in terms of the power, but he had two home runs over the last week. When he is hot, he's a great DFS play. Tonight, he is 3,000. Davis, who do you like there?
Well, as you know, not a big Chris Bryant guy in general. Didn't like him in draft season. Don't really, just always been, Bryant and Gallo came up the same year. Gallo used to play third base for the uninitiated, so that was kind of always a thing. Bryant versus Gallo, and I was always a Gallo guy. But third base, actually chock full of great hitters here tonight. We have Chris Bryant in the great matchup against Lester. Anthony Rendon has a really solid matchup for the Los Angeles Angels. They're up against this left-handed guy, Hentges, who I guess I don't know that much about, but anytime we see a lefty against the Angels, I'm thinking, all right, Rendon, all right, Upton, all right, Trout. And Machado priced all the way down at 3,200. John Gray has been very good against right-handed batters, but Manny Machado at 3,200. And then Donaldson, platoon advantage against Dallas Keuchel. I just think Donaldson against left-handed starting pitching when he's healthy, that's pretty much automatic.
Okay, and at shortstop, Javi Baez is an option at 4,100 for the Cubs against the Mets. Francisco Lindor, Still waiting for him to get real hot at 3,000. Polanco is at 2,900. And then Ahmed Rosario makes a check-in on our list today, 2,100 against Patrick Sandoval, who I read a lot about on social media over the last 2 years about what a sleeper he's going to be. And his ERA is 6, and he is still sleeping at this point, Patrick Sandoval. So what do you got tonight?
Yeah, I mean, Baez, I think Baez is my favorite play overall of the slate. All he does is strike out, hit home runs, or steal bases. Two of those three things are very good for fantasy. Lindor, very similar to Manny Machado. It's just like, come on. At some point, Lindor is going to turn it around. At some point, Lindor is going to start hitting like a guy who just got an absurd Major League Baseball contract. Jorge Polanco, generally a good lineup spot. Though, the Twins are one of those very weird Major League Baseball teams that a guy can hit first, a guy can hit fourth, a guy can hit ninth. They just got everyone other than Nelson Cruz and Josh Donaldson gets moved around willy-nilly by the Minnesota Twins. Not sure if I'm a fan of that or not. I mean, maybe they're trying new things. Maybe I should give them credit. And then Ahmed Rosario, it's just like, look, if I'm going to play Garrett Cole and Javi Baez and Shohei Ohtani, I got to save somewhere. I got to take a $2,000 guy. Yeah. Ahmed Rosario, 2,100, allows us to save some salary.
Makes sense. Okay, now to the outfielders we go. Mookie Betts leads the charge at 4,100. Ohtani seems like a plug and play at this point if he's in the lineup at 4,000. Trent Grisham, 3,100 for the Padres. Kelenic is 2,900 for Seattle. And then Kyle Garlick, 2,300, a possible play tonight. So I know Ohtani's going to be in your lineup, Davis. Who else have we got in the outfield?
Yeah, Ohtani definitely going to be in. Ohtani definitely going to be in the lineup. But I thought I'd put Mookie in here instead of Trout because I actually anticipate Trout getting some ownership tonight. You know, I think Trout will be 15-20%. You know, no Coors game, no other, no obvious lineup. Especially so if people stack the White Sox. No Eloy, no Lou Bob. They're right. Not going to be a ton of great outfield options for the White Sox. So I think Mookie, we will see him get a little bit under-owned tonight. Obviously, Ohtani, great. You know, no questions there. We're loving to get Ohtani in. Trent Grisham, 3,100, just kind of a good, solid lineup filler, platoon advantage against John Gray. I love the rookies. I love the top prospects. That's my thing. We all have our things in fantasy sports, guys we love, archetypes of guys we like. I love the high upside five-tool rookies. That's just my thing. So I will definitely be playing a fair amount of Jared Kelenic and Kyle Garlick. Again, it's anyone's guess. He could bat first. He could bat fifth. He could bat ninth. Obviously, if he bats ninth, we are much less interested in him for the Twins. But Garlick or Trevor Larnach, these amazing names that the Minnesota Twins outfielders have, both of them are pretty cheap. Both of them should have, or Larnach won't have the platoon advantage, but Garlick will. And if Garlick is, you know, batting even sixth, I think, tonight, I think we can feel pretty good about him against Dallas Keuchel.
All right, real quick here. We're going to do our best ball preview, the Carolina Panthers, coming up in about 15 minutes from now. But I saw something that happened over the weekend football-wise that I wanted to ask you about and wonder if there'll be any impact at all. Probably best for a fantasy reality, honestly. But it is reality that, Davis, your favorite general manager, Dave Gettleman of the New York Giants, brought in Kelvin Benjamin, who once upon a time was a fantastic wide receiver at Florida State and a really capable wide receiver in the NFL. Got a little big. Everybody knows that. And we saw some pictures of him this weekend being shown at, I guess, a Giants mini camp. And they ended up signing Kelvin Benjamin. Now, the head coach of the Giants basically wouldn't commit and say that he is a tight end or anything along those lines. But I think that we know that he is. And they did end up signing him to a deal. Any chance Kelvin Benjamin rekindles a career as a tight end? And I guess on top of that question, Davis, why does this not happen more where players get older at wide receiver and a little bit slower and then move over to that position? Never see it.
I think that this is actually something we are going to start to see more and more. You remember Hakeem Butler from Iowa State? Mm-hmm. He was a draft pick 2 years ago by the Arizona Cardinals. They cut him. He actually was active as a tight end for the Philadelphia Eagles in one game last year. And in fact, even got an end zone target that would have won a game for the Philadelphia Eagles, but he dropped it. That's what that Kelvin Benjamin story reminded me of. I love the idea of it, especially as NFL teams rely on their tight ends to block less and less. Like there are far fewer Darren Fells types still in the NFL, and there are far more, you know, Mercedes Lewis's, where their job is just to kind of be too big for a cornerback, but too fast for a linebacker. And I hope the Kelvin Benjamin things works out. I hope he ends up on the roster, because I just love when anything kind of out of the ordinary, you know, kind of creative happens with these NFL offenses. And I think you're right. Kelvin Benjamin was really good at Florida State and did have a good run for the Panthers. And I'd like to see him out there playing. Like, I think that would be fun.
Yeah, I just have never understood why it doesn't happen more. And I guess the blocking ability is part of it. But isn't that something that you can pick up, I would think, at some point? But rarely see it. Like, Dez Bryant, to me, could be – I mean, I don't know if he could block, but that's, like, a perfect example of a guy I could see just be converted to a tight end. But the blocking ability, I guess, is it goes without saying that that would have to change for sure. Okay, well, interesting game yesterday between the Phillies and Toronto Blue Jays that included a manager and a player – not seeing eye to eye over a couple of different issues on the field. That manager was Joe Girardi, and the player was Gene Segura. They had a little bit of a dust up yesterday, although they said there was none. And we'll hear from Joe Girardi on that coming up next, right here on Sports Grid. So make sure you stay with us on the grid. We'll be right back.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today. New York Daily News reporting Jeff McNeil and Michael Conforto going on the injured list for the Mets today, joining Jacob DeGrom. So Mets up against it going into the week, no doubt about that. Speaking of up against it, Phillies manager Joe Girardi was up against the media yesterday. This should come as no surprise. Hasn't happened in a long time where Joe Girardi's been confrontational at all, by the way, with the media, but after Gene Segura committed two errors yesterday in the first few innings of the game, there was some sort of discussion that happened in the dugout between Segura and Girardi, and certainly Girardi was asked about what was said.
And you said the Segura thing, it's your job. It's your job to resolve.
You can ask all you want. You got everything you're going to get about it. All right? I'm done with it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Jim and Bob.
I know you're doing your job, but that's it.
Joe, conversation or confrontation?
Next question.
How about the optics of all this?
I mean, Next question.
I mean, it just
Jimmy, I'm not going to talk about it, Jimmy. I'm not going to talk about it. Next question. You got a baseball question? Ask me a baseball question.
I mean, that is a baseball question. That was, you know, about the baseball team.
All right. Anyone else?
I only want to Bob. We'll finish up here.
Yeah.
Well, Davis, some interesting stuff happening in Philadelphia for sure. Gene Segura and Joe Girardi probably not going to be going out to dinner anytime soon.
No, which is so weird. I mean, what a weird situation. And what a I feel like Mr. Girardi did not do himself any favors with this. Like, just have like a nice, calm explanation, or just be like, look, hey, you know, it's players and managers and it's baseball and it's heated. Like, I feel like he was not listening to his PR coach there.
Yeah, and he's, by the way, the best of the best as it pertains to dealing with the media. Like, as good as any manager I have ever seen in covering baseball, whether it was here in South Florida or anywhere else. Tells you something else must have really happened there to get Joe to get that fired up for sure. All right, coming up, hour two of Fantasy Sports Today. We got Chris with the update and best ball preview, the Carolina Panthers. Stay on the grid.